talk to you this morning about treasure hunting. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about a man, a merchant who was a pearl. He searched for the pearl of great price. And it says when he had found the pearl of great price, that he sold everything he had and he went and bought that one pearl. He got rid of everything that he had and he got that one pearl. And he's talking about, obviously, the kingdom of heaven, talking about Jesus, who is the pearl of great price, and how that whatever we have here on this earth is just fleeting, and it's only here for a brief moment. So I want to talk to you about that this morning. Trials of life can throw a lot of curves at you. Life experiences seem to mold and shape us. That what's going on in our world today, it can shape our thoughts and our motives and our actions. And I'm sure if you're anything like me, you're tired of hearing the two words social distancing and wash your hands. And I mean, like, I've washed my hands so many times, I don't think I have any fingerprints left on them. But it's like, there's so many things that, and if we're not careful, fear will take a hold of our society and take a hold of us and get inside of us. And I mean, someone said at one time, you can take the people out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the people. I think that's probably pretty true. I think there's a lot of, there's a website called Walmart People, and I don't recommend that site, because sometimes there's some different types of people there, and they can mess up your thinking. But the social distancing went to Lowe's. I think a lot of people, we talk about, maybe you're like we are, you're getting a lot of the things done around the house. But we went to Lowe's the other day, and there were so many people there, you would have thought it was like Christmas shopping time on steroids. People everywhere, and you can see some of the people that was walking around, and I mean, if you get within 6 or 7 feet of them, they'd back off, because I think there's a lot of fear in our world today. But I want to rest assured that God has this. Yes, we have to be wise. We have to do our part. But we cannot allow fear to take a hold of us, because God ultimately is in control. Now, I'll say this. He's not in control of your life unless you let him be. But when you let him have control, then when he orders your steps, then God will help us, and he'll make it worth all. I believe if Jesus taught a sermon today, it would be, he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. You can take the people out of the country. You can't take the country out of the people. I think if you read the Old Testament at all, Jesus might say you can take the people out of slavery, but you can't take the slavery out of the people. Can you take slavery out of the people? That's one of the questions that I want to ask you today. Is there anything in your life that you've allowed yourself to be a slave to other than the rock who is Jesus? So here we have in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, says, therefore, everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Sweet. Who hears the word, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because its foundation was on the rock. Now, I'm just going to tell you right off the top of my head. Jesus is the rock. There's so many different illustrations throughout the New Testament as well as the Old Testament that symbolizes Jesus being the rock, the foundation, the strong, firm foundation that will not be moved by the wind, the rain, or the storms of life. It says the rains came down, the floods came up, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone, I didn't hear you, everyone, okay. Everyone seems to be on their computers here in the church. But everyone who hears these words, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, streams rose up, the winds blew and beat that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these things, the crowd was amazed at his teaching because, listen, he taught as one who had authority. You know why he taught as one who had authority? Because he had authority. And not as one of their teachers of the law. He was one who had authority. He wasn't just a teacher. He was the teacher, if you will. On Christ, we sing that song, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. It says he's the stone that the builders rejected. He is the chief cornerstone. The sand here represents the things that are affected by the wind. Wind can be very powerful. Today, people talk about the virus, and they say it's the enemy that is unseen, the virus that you can't see. But let me tell you something. You can see the virus if you have the right equipment. But you can't see the wind. That wind's going to come, and it's going to blow. You have never seen it. All we see is the effects of the wind. And when the wind blows, when the storms come up, then that's when the real tests come in life. Wind came, the storms of life. Anyone have any storms in your life lately? Maybe you had a bad work day. The house is a mess. Maybe you're homeschooling your kids. There's a challenge. The car breaks down. Maybe you missed a steer at the World Series at Team Open last December, and you're still crying about it. Then we have this national storm. Listen, think about this. Never, ever in the history of time or in the history of the world has the entire world come together for one cause. Today is a different day than it's ever been before. Listen, the Bible talks about when the world comes together and the world comes together and there's going to be a one world order, a one world money system. This is just a precursor of something that is going to happen. The Bible says when these things, listen to this, begin to happen, it says, look up, your redemption draws now. Listen, I just feel like a racehorse in a starting gate. I hadn't got to preach in 2 weeks. And when we do preach, we only preach one time. And so please hear this. We've got to look up. Because our redemption is closer than it's ever been before. Listen, it's a good day for the church. Amen. It's an unprecedented division. We have a virus pandemic. We have economic stress. We have locally, nationally, internationally, oil prices to a negative level for the first time in history. How does that happen? A volatile stock market, life savings in danger, small business owners shut down, tourism non-existent, unprecedented division, politically hateful words from leaders, distrust in our world today. And what we have, we are here and we have to make a decision where we will build our house, whether we will build it on the solid rock, on Jesus, or we will build it on the sand. Now, listen, I brought this little Monopoly game because I'm sure a lot of y'all have been playing games with your kids, and that's wonderful. But I thought, isn't it interesting in these Monopoly games that they seem so real that you can play Monopoly and you can get your houses, you can get your hotels, and you have to figure out if you want a cell phone or you want a new car, and then you got the houses, and then you come around and you go through the French Quarter, New Orleans, and maybe if the wind comes up because you went to New Orleans during what is it in New Orleans when they have the Mardi Gras, yeah. You went to Mardi Gras and you got drunk. And everything got messed up. And the winds came, kind of blew your house over to Mardi Gras. things happen. Then all of a sudden you come around here and you get to Las Vegas. My goodness, Las Vegas. You lose your shirt in Las Vegas. You miss your steer in Las Vegas. Oh, I need a little bit bigger, a little more wind. And then everything messes up for Las Vegas. Then you come around, you go to the baseball park, and we just got through with the NFL draft, and there's some guys that are really disappointed today because they didn't get drafted. Maybe somebody got hurt. Maybe you blew your knee out, and the winds of life came in. It blew you away, and you can't play football no more. Maybe then you come around, and you get up here. You get, there's the Grand Ole Opry. Maybe you're wanting to get a new record deal signed, or maybe you're wanting something really good, and the winds come up and blows, and you don't get exactly what you want. And so with that, a little bit of money just blows away. And then you get, you're like, man, here we got the international LAX, International Airport, and you wanna go on a trip. You've been craving a trip, and you had a trip all planned. You had all your tickets bought, and the coronavirus came, and you blew the airplane all through the air, and it left. Your plane crashed. What about that? But you know, no matter what you go through, there's a lot of wind that's going to blow your house, and it doesn't matter. Some houses can take a lot of wind, but sometimes life can throw some real big curves at you, and maybe you lose a lot more than you really thought you would ever lose. And sometimes big things happen in life, and it just kind of tears you up. Plug it in. Oh. And then your cord comes unplugged while you're getting ready to do your illustration. That was so much fun. Then all your stuff is gone. Everything you worked for all your life. It's all gone. What will you do? What will you do when the party's over, when everything's going right and everything's good, and then the storms, the wind come, and the foundation of your house, because you built your house on the stuff, you built your house on your finances, on your bank account, on your savings, you built your house on a lot of things except Jesus. And the storms of life have taken you out. The reason is because the house didn't have a solid, firm foundation. So how is these things in Jesus' day? Israel was an occupied land. The land of Israel had a Roman dictatorship. They were occupied by a superpower. There was no social net to catch anybody. There was no bailout, no PPP. Is that what's it called? PPE. Where you get the money, free money. High taxes, corrupt tax system, no democracy, no unions, no labor laws, no human rights tribunal. So here we got two people with two stories. We got the story of the person who built his house on the rock, the person who built his rock on the sand. Each person builds a house. Each house looks secure and in good weather. When everything's going right, you can't hardly tell which has a good foundation and which doesn't have a good foundation. The thing about a good house, you never know whether it will endure the storm until the storm comes. Y'all stay with me, please. During the hurricanes, you remember when the hurricanes hit. I remember we were in our house and Hurricane Harvey came It was in the middle of the night when the worst part hit, and we, Darla and I was laying in bed, and you could hear that house creak. And I was like, ooh. I hope this house is built right. And it didn't go anywhere because it had a firm, solid foundation. Life may be sailing along for you. You graduated from college. You have got your first job, your marriage, you're living the dream. You got 2.5 kids, however you do that, I don't know. But everything seems secure. But Jesus is speaking into this volatile Jewish culture occupied by a foreign power who they want to overthrow. There's a lot of uncertainty. He was speaking to people who had been consumed by the law. Y'all stay with me, please. They had been consumed by the law, but the motions of life that neither filled them up or brought the motions of life that neither filled them up nor brought them peace. They were never filled by the law. They were never filled or had peace. Some of you may be listening, some of you elderly people, you may have witnessed or experienced the Great Depression. And people are talking now about how bad it is. Well, if you've ever, my mom went through the Great Depression and I heard her talk about it. We really don't know what it's like to suffer. It's much different now than it was then. The most telling factor of how we weather the storms of life depends on how our foundation is built. The things you can't see. You see, each house experiences a storm. Both houses have the storm. This is not a story about weather. It's not about the weatherman. It's a story about building a house on what can withstand the storms of life. It's a big difference. Only the storm will reveal how solid your house is. Storms happening today. There's a lot of storms. The virus, the pandemic, the stock market crash, oil prices, job loss, political unrest, anxiety, fear is everywhere. So the prophecy in Isaiah hundreds of years earlier in Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16, it says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion. He's talking about Jesus, the stone. In Isaiah, he said, a tested stone. He's a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on this firm foundation will never be stricken with panic. There will be no panic. If we rely on the chief cornerstone, for both people in this parable, there's a choice to be made. This is the only difference. One man chooses to build on sand. The other chooses to build. Did you catch that? He chooses. The choice is to build on sand, or the choice is to build on the rock. What kind of foundation are you building on today? What is the sand? Well, the sand represents the earth. The sand represents the things that we can accumulate here on the earth, the things that are accumulated on the sand or the dirt, where we put our faith, the things that won't last forever or the things that will last forever. You see, hey, hang on your hat. I don't want to offend anybody, but your money is sand. At the end of the day, you can't take it with you. The stock market, trust me, is sand. It crashed 1929, 1987, 2008, and 2020. If our faith is in our money, then we will lose our money. The foundation is shattered. If our faith is in our money, then we will lose our faith in God, because you can't serve God and money. Yeah. So, a lot of people respond because their house is not built on the rock, respond with suicide, depression, anxiety, things that follow. Hey, let me say something to you people out there that, since nobody's here, nobody can throw tomatoes at me. I want to talk to somebody out there that you get mad at the preacher when he talks about money. And if you got a little angry, if you see little angry faces going across the screen, this is for you, the angry face people. Here it is. If you get mad when the preacher talks about money, it is because he's talking about your God. He's talking about your God, and you have built your foundation on your God. I probably wouldn't say that. No, I probably wouldn't say that in church. Anyway, oil is sand, right? 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. In other words, God gives us things to enjoy here on the earth, but he says, don't put your trust in them. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. In other words, giving baskets to people, stuff like that. Ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation. Everybody say a good foundation. For the time to come, that they may hold on to. Listen, stay with me. The good foundation, that they may hold on to eternal life. Boo. Okay. Now, I'm going to say some things here that's going to upset some people, but, well, I guess I already did, but I'm going to do it again. Physical beauty is sand. You know what the definition of Hollywood is? That's where all the beautiful people are supposed to migrate to. But definition of Hollywood is where the stars twinkle till they wrinkle. Sooner or later, we're just going to all wrinkle up anyway. Sand. It doesn't last forever. Everybody's going to wrinkle. Wrinkles happen. Everybody say wrinkles. No, it's okay. Okay, here's another one, your reputation. And we all value our reputation. I think that's something to be valued. But our reputation is sand as well. Because what other people think about us is not always what God thinks about us. The social media can ruin you with rumors. Popularity, y'all stay with me. Popularity, everybody wants to be popular. All the kids want to be popular at school. Popularity is sand. People are volatile. Love you 1 minute and curse you the next. Career, your career, the things you worked for all your life, sand. Your career cannot be your God. You get downsized or passed over for a promotion or the virus happened, a recession and a storm, changing technology. It's a storm. Things happen in our world. The big blower comes on and it moves things in our world. Health. Listen to this. Good health is sand. It's good to have good health. I agree with that. But if you put your faith in your good health, listen, unless the Lord comes back and gets us all, none of us are going to get out of this thing alive, because this world is a fallen world and we're all going to, as long as we are in this body that gets more age on it, it's sand. One call from the doctor can change everything, a medical storm. Talent. You got any talent? Talent is sand. Fame is fleeting. So, the resolution. What's the resolution? Build your house on Jesus. Build your life on Jesus. Jesus is the rock. On his words and his work, Jesus makes this call to accountability. He says, hear and practice my words. He didn't say just hear my word. A lot of people are pretty good at getting up and reading their Bible, but not just hearing the word, but practice the word. Just before Pilate, Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Jesus said that if you've seen me, you've seen the truth. And Pilate says, what is the truth? And then this is, he was standing before God, standing before Jesus, the Son of God. And Pilate asked the question. He says, what is the truth? And then he walked off. He didn't even wait for an answer. Why? He had built his house on his own pride and arrogance and the things that he had accomplished. He didn't realize that eternity was knocking at his door. So we have to build our house on God's word, believe it, practice it. We cowboys, we practice a lot of things. We practice a lot in the practice pen. But we need to spend a lot of time practicing living for God, whether we're just spending quiet time with God or whether we are in the practice pen or whether we're working or whatever we're doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. You see, the Jewish nation, it was a stumbling block. The stone was a stumbling block. And a lot of people are, for a lot of people in our culture today, Jesus is a stumbling block. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. And they stumble over him. God is always going to be there. You will either honor him and trust him as the foundation of your life, or you'll trip over him. Either way, you're going to have to deal with him. Most people, sad to say, are building on sin, but Jesus called us to build our lives on him. Build your life, your marriage, your business, your finances, your relationship, your hobbies, your dreams. Don't merely live for yourself, live for him. Give yourself to his work, to his mission, and to the world that you live in. Don't merely invest your money in sand or in this world. Invest in eternity and the eternal things of God. Love people and love God. Honor God. Honor man, but honor God more. So what are the words of Jesus? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't have a good, solid house without Jesus. What is the profit of man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If there's any cowboys out there, you're trying to be a world champion. It won't profit you in eternal things if you are a world champion, but you lose your soul. It's okay to be a world champion if you do it for the kingdom of God so that he can have glory for it. But if you do it for your own pride and for your own ego, you will be sorely disappointed when you do it. Because peace won't follow rebellion. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was another Pharisee, a person that lived by the law. When asked what's the greatest commandment, he said, love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the clincher. Jesus said he was going to be killed, but then he was going to be raised from the dead. Now he also says one day he's coming back, and he will. He said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. While Jesus is our rock, our foundation, our security, we're down here just shaking our heads about where we're going to buy more toilet paper. I don't think that's right. Well, we do need toilet paper, but it ain't worth getting all wrought up over. They make horse rags too. Yeah. They say, I'm afraid, I'm not prepared. How ironic that people would hoard toilet paper and neglect the core matter of their relationship with God. Jesus invites us to build our lives on him, a sure foundation. You see, in the Old Testament, I'm going to close with this. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. And Moses, God told Moses that he had been chosen to take the children of Israel out of the land of bondage into the desert, because a lot of times you have to go through the desert in order to get to the promised land. You know what's in the desert, right? Sand. That's why God didn't want you building your house in the desert. He wants you building your house in the promised land because that's where the rock is. In the Old Testament, it's interesting. It's such a cool story. The children of Israel, they came out of bondage. And you remember the staff that Moses had. The staff always represented judgment. You remember whenever God brought judgment on Egypt, God told Moses to put his staff into the water and the water turned to blood. The staff always brought judgment. In other words, whenever they were leaving Egypt, when God parted the water, God told Moses to put your staff into the water. He put the staff into the water and the water parted. And when the Egyptians came in, the water came down and God's judgment came on those who rebelled against God and against God's people. So here they are in the desert, and the people, they're complaining. You know what people do in the desert, right? They complain. It's just kind of the way it is. Here in the desert, Moses represented, stay with me, please stay with me. Moses himself represented the law of God, because you remember God gave Moses the law when he was up on the mountain, and he brought the law down for the children of Israel to live by. Moses is the rock here is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were murmuring because they didn't have water. God had supplied all of their needs, their physical needs, providing manna for them and food, and whether they got their sustenance through the water throughout the desert, I don't know. But here's what it says. It says the people were murmuring because they didn't have any water. They were thirsty for water. And God told Moses, he said, in the desert, he said, strike the rock. Y'all remember that, right? And so Moses, he struck the rock. And when he struck the rock, water, y'all stay with me. What does the rock represent? Jesus. And when he struck the rock with the judgment, with the staff, which represents the judgment of God, water came out. This is symbolic of Jesus whenever he died on the cross. He was struck once and for all. And when he died on the cross, living water came and was available to the whole world. So you remember as well, they go on through the desert and the people go to whining again and they get to complaining again. And God tells Moses, they come to the rock. This was like 3,500 years before Jesus. It come to the rock, and it says, God told him, Moses, he says, speak to the rock. Y'all stay with me. Moses had enough. You ever been there? You ever been there where you had enough, and you just went off? You just lost it. I mean, it's just like, And the dog runs, everybody like. Moses had it. And when God told him to speak to the rock, Moses struck the rock twice, two times. And God said, Moses, because you struck that rock twice, the rock twice, you cannot enter the promised land. Because Moses represented the law. Now God was kind and showed grace to Moses. He said he went up on the mountain and he it wasn't like God rejected him, but he said he couldn't go into the promised land. This was during the dispensation of the law. But he said, You're either going to live by the law or you're going to live by grace. You're either going to live by the law and build your house on the sand, or you're going to live by grace and you're going to build your house on the rock. And you struck the rock twice. The whole nation died in the desert because they wouldn't respect the rock. They wouldn't respect the grace of God. So we invest our lives to accumulate. Here in this world, we invest our lives to accumulate, only to find that the things that we have accumulated us. Our thoughts are so consumed with the future that the present rushes by without even being noticed. We're in such a busy, busy world today. And we're like, give me that rock, give me the water right now. I want it right now. And instead of hearing the voice of God and adhering and practicing and doing the word of God, we do what we want to do and we expect God to bless us no matter what. Why? Because we're entitled to God's blessings. Don't kid yourself. We're not entitled. We continue to strike the rock. We're not recognizing provision or the emancipation from our own personal slavery. Thus, we build our house on the sand, our stuff, our bank account, our friends, our family, our kids, our spouse. It says, seek first the rock, the kingdom of God, his righteousness. We think that we can get security. There's so many insecure people. Why? They've built their house on the sand. Where is your security? The rock was always Jesus. The staff was always judgment. It said, strike the rock. Speak to the rock. And what God was telling Moses, he says, it's time for you to begin to operate in grace because I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send Jesus, and he's going to redeem his people. He's going to pay the price of redemption for the sins of the people. You see, beating your head up against the wall with all the things of life is just beating the rock. And the Bible says that when we sin, it's as though we crucify the Son of Man afresh. In other words, we're not accepting that one-time sacrifice that he made for us. Let me tell you something. Striking the rock again and again will leave you in the desert. You will be full of anxiety when you go to the grocery store. You'll be full of anxiety when you don't have the money that you need. You'll be full of anxiety because you don't have everything you want. Let me tell you something. Our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So they had in the desert, they had manna in the desert. Did you know that it only came about once a day? And they weren't supposed to save any for tomorrow. No such thing. Honestly, there's no such thing as tomorrow anyway. And there's no such thing as yesterday because that's over. All we really have is today. Right now, this moment, tomorrow's stuff will rot if you keep it over. You keep it long enough, everything we put our faith in, the sandy things are going to rot. If you are a slave, you have to live with tomorrow in mind. But if you're a servant of the Most High God, you know, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Prepare, yes, but never, ever worry. We will always be a slave to our own will as long as our world overrides God's word. Just live for today. Jesus said this. He said, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Right. You see, us older people, we understand how to worry better than any little child knows how to worry. And we teach our kids how to worry by the words we say and by the things we do. I just want to challenge you today. Build your house on the rock. The sacrifice that Jesus made was so that we could. The reason that Moses said that God told Moses to speak to the rock, this is so cool, is because you and I, now because of God's grace and because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can speak to the rock. Many times we don't ever spend enough time in prayer because we don't see the value of speaking to the rock. We just get mad and want to beat the rock because we are living under the law and God's saying, my grace is sufficient for you. When you walk away today from your computer, from whatever you're doing today, I want you to understand that there is a way that Jesus paid the ultimate price where you don't have to live under the law. You don't have to live under judgment because God brought your judgment to Jesus when he died on the cross, and your sins and my sins were judged at the cross one time. The rock was beat one time. For me and for you, from this day forward, we don't have to beat our heads up against the wall wondering or not having peace in our life. God will give you everything you need if you will put your life in his hand and not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. God will help you in every way. Listen, the judgment has already been paid for. God made a way. Now, does that mean everything's going to go great for you? No. Doesn't mean we're not going to get old, our skin's not going to get wrinkled up and all these other things. But we're not going to value the things that can be burned up in the fire. We're going to value the things that are eternal. Only three things are eternal. God, his word, and your soul. Invest in the eternal things because those things will not rot and they will not be blown down by the winds of life. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your people today. Thank you for loving us. I just want to say to you, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to pray with you. I got a feeling that there's some people out there right now that just God's really talking to your heart about realigning your values. And I just challenge you today to pray this prayer with me and invite Christ to come into your heart. Let him be the rock in your life, and we can stop putting our faith in the temporal things, the things that can be blown over by the wind and burned up with the fire. Make the investment of your soul in the eternal things. And I'm going to invite you to pray with me. The Bible says this. He said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So this morning, I just want to help you pray that prayer. If you just pray with me, just repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just wanted to challenge you today. If you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you've got a little form you can fill out on the Facebook, or is it on the website?
It's on Facebook and YouTube.
On Facebook and YouTube, and you can fill that form out and send it to us. We'd like to send you a Bible. We'd like to give you a Bible. My goodness, it's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And when we start having church back, you can come to church. If you live somebody else, someplace else out of the area, we invite you to come back next week. Please, please learn from the Word of God. Get your friends involved. Get your family involved. It's worth it. We love you. Hey, listen, keep looking up. That's where all the answers are. We love you. God bless you. Thank you so much for watching today. God bless.